What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is my interview with the composer and songwriter for The Card Counter, Robert Levinby.
Podcast, and right now I am being joined by Robert Levinby over here. We are currently talking about The Card Counter, which is the new film from Paul Schrader being released by Focus Features right now. Robert, how are you today?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome. I just got back from Telluride, where the film also screened right after Venice. I got a chance to meet Paul, and I asked him to his face, How at your age did you just make the trek over from Venice, Italy over here to Colorado right now? Like, just the rush of this movie, because it also was, you know, out in theaters now too this weekend. So it's just supposed to be a madhouse for you guys.
Yeah, I thought that same thing because I didn't think he was going to make it. He said, I swear he said, like, I'm not doing any of that bullshit. and the next thing, I knew maybe he changed his mind, and which doesn't surprise me. And he's over there, and it kind of hit me. I was like, oh yeah, this is like the equivalent of like when a band tours, you know, but in a much more, you know, shorter condensed thing. Like, the rock tour can go for a year, but with films, it's like, it's all about, you know, just a really tight fist of just make your punch, moment count, I guess. But that's just also like his thing is just like, I would just ask him, like, where do you get this, like, energy? Like, you know, at his age, like, it goes well beyond a flight. Like, I don't know where he just gets the juice, you know? It's a wild thing.
Well, in terms of like your work here with The Card Counter, this is actually the first time that you've been contacted, I believe, to work on a score for a feature length film. Your father had previously worked with Paul on Light Sleeper. And I'm curious to know, I imagine Paul, he must have called you to bring you onto the project, right? Like, I'm just curious to know, how else did you come onto the project?
He tried for like a month, and it was like the wrong number or something. It was something really, like, really, you know, just stupid. And then they went through like a friend of a friend of a friend. Finally, I think it was, I don't know, it came around at the right time, because they were having some issues, struggling with the, like, the direction of the concept for the music. And I maybe stumbled into the room at the right time, because the only focus was on like the last song, like, you know, asking if it'd be put, you know, like I watched it, and I could see the similarities. I could see this kind of in the writing. I could tell, like, okay, there's definitely like strong parallels with Light Sleeper. And so I kind of was like, this is going to be a challenge, because I know it's like, you're kind of going for this Michael Biehn thing. Like, my father's like, you know, I'm like, and I'm not that cat. So, you know, I was like, I'll just throw out what I would do. And I had like, six songs in mind, because there was just a lot of different ways you could go. The final song, he took to a lot, And then it was kind of an like, what about trying this? What about trying that? And so, well, what started off is just kind of, one song kind of kept growing backwards into, do the full film. But
which is wild, by the way. It's like, I didn't sign on for this. And here we are scoring an entire film, your first film score, and then all the songs that are also layered across it. And dare I say, damn good job, sir, because I personally love this moody, atmospheric, dark score that was like the undercurrent to this movie. I thought it sold the vibe of the story just very, very well.
Thank you. Yeah, like I have no objectivity. Like I'm like the I did so many versions, and in my head there's like so many different kind of. I had no idea how much like music is like the final rewrite, you know, kind of like a screenplay to a novel. So it's any little move, any little change, you know, you've got a different film on your hand. Mm-hmm. So it got to a point where I was just like, you know, man, if you're happy and this is, you know, and we finally exhausted all these different types of films, like my job was just to give you as many hard choices as possible. And if I've done that, then I've done, you know, I've done something right. So, and that was cool. I'd never like thought about creating. I always felt like I needed to know and have the answer and have the direction and but there's a director for that. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting, you know, juxtaposition.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Coming up on 5-Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
You know, these last couple of years, especially over the last decade, we've seen lots of rock artists from Trent Reznor to the Dresner Brothers get into film scoring. Is this something that after the collaboration experience that you've had is something that you would like to continue exploring more into the future? Because I do believe, you know, people like, you know, Johnny Greenwood and like all these other people that are just finding so much success in this new, I don't want to say it's like a new form of film score, but there is something very unique about it, right? Taking a rock artist's mentality and applying it to the cinema.
Yeah. Started understanding why, like, so many, I guess, films, but also the music itself, like, it's hard to break out of, you know, convention. And so I think it's a lot of times there's, especially technology wise, there's a lot of kind of just drone keypad MIDI. Like, one of the things we argued about the most was that I was like, I'm not doing MIDI strings and these things, and and like, if we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it, you know, and there's like no budget for that, so it's like, all right. And then he got, in true Paul fashion, he got someone to do that, which I do remember from with working with my him working with my dad, was if there was anything like that where you kind of I don't know, there's an impasse, like Paul will just go and he, for the Light Sleeper score, like delivered it, and then found a guy that just, he did really well, but just put saxophone over most of the score, and it was like kind of a last minute thing. So I get the I knew that coming, so it was kind of like I'm gonna bring you know, the things that I've got in the same way that I kind of witnessed my father as like more, you know, musician, not mm-hmm. as much composer. You know, you bring your best and it's another animal. It's something that I'm still learning and I'm like not in a place of being like, you know, yeah, I'm really grateful to kind of get the experience to, yeah, it was like going to school.
Yeah.
And I hope I, you know, I hope I never graduate. I hope I'm always learning something new, but, it's another animal, like understanding that no one film or one director is the same. Mm-hmm. Paul had a very, you know, specific thing. And I would never walk into, you know, like working with someone else with just the same assumptions. So mm-hmm. as much as I want to say like, yeah, it's pretty magical when things click, and you go into like other artistic territory that you never would, you know, otherwise, yeah, I can't say what's, you know, I've given up, you know, guessing what's around the corner.
Yeah.
And so, which helps with a process like that. Something that moves literally at the speed of sound, that it's just like, does it feel right? Or, you know, there's no time to like discuss. You're just like, yeah, we're going to the next scene, going to the next. And so it's all feeling and instinct and I don't know, just staying out of the way. But yeah, so I'd love to, but I don't, yeah, I don't know the future. But it would be great because I know the cats that do have an edge on the future. I don't know if it's an edge I want because it's like, yeah, you do start kind of phoning in the same thing. And I would hate to, you know, do that. Yeah. The learning is more important than, you know, solving.
Yeah. As artists, we always have to like, you know, try to push ourselves creatively and not stay stagnant. So I understand where you're coming from with that completely. You mentioned before that you're learning so much. You're working with Paul Schrader, a man who has nearly 50 years in the business. What would you say was the number one thing in the process of working with him that was like your biggest takeaway, your biggest learning moment?
Oh my gosh. Well, just because it's on my mind, I guess what we were just saying, the kind of letting go and letting it be. It's you know, when you're in a band, there's, you know, 2 to 5, 6 people. And with this, there's, you know, I came on late and it was like the film was pretty much done. And so it was like a final edit. It's, you know, just to have this kind of thing of respecting the work that came before you and having the boldness to like take the wheel, which was very strange at times when Paul was like encouraging me to, okay, now is where, you know, the song kind of takes over as the narrative. And then we return back, you know? And it was very strange, like, you know, having that sense of like, okay, I'm going to take the wheel for the next minute and 8 seconds, but then I'm handing it back. And so there's a lot of just, you know, going with the flow that's mm-hmm. like extremely necessary of, you know, okay, now you have to let go of that wheel. It's not yours. You know, you were just, you know, that was a moment of a loner. But actually the thing that was unique about this was like after having like written a minute of the song, which was like a surgical strike with Paul, which I'd remembered from him working with Mike, like when he wants it, you know, the voice to begin at 4:45, you know, 08:03, it's like specifically right there. And then like die down, fade out, come back in. Mm-hmm. Like he's not messing around. So to write with that precision is terrifying. Yeah. And I'd never, you know, done that. And then the strangest feeling was like, once the whole film was over, my initial thing was like, I have to go back and finish these songs. Like just, it's like, I feel like a negligent parent if I just like let these, you know, songs just be incomplete. So that I should have kind of, you know, just taken the win. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't have lived with myself or slept if I didn't like figure out where these songs are going to go. Like, what's next? Like, what's the, you know, almost like part two of it.
Yeah.
And so I got the luxury of like getting to like explore, you know, off the canvas, you know, off the outside of the film, which I don't know how many people get that. So I did get the best of both worlds in some ways. And it's, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get that kind of chance again, but it was kind of surreal to combine those two different, you know, methods. So I'd go back like months, like into like, where the hell was my mind at when I, you know, wrote this verse into the chorus, mm-hmm. and then I reverse engineer this back into like, you know, where would that story go next? So I don't know. I just can't stop giving myself impossible challenges. But pretty proud of it. Then again, you know, ask me in 5 minutes from now and I'll probably be, you know, doubting it all again.
Well, I'll ask you in a shorter period of time than 5 minutes. Yeah. Because I wanted to know that if they're considering the amount of work that you did on this movie with the songs and the score, if there a track or a song in particular that you want to hang your hat on and say, you know what, I am proud of that one. That one turned out pretty well, and I'm a big fan of that one.
Well,
keep in mind, whatever you say here, anyone that listens that's the one that they're going to go listen to right away. So,
oh no, like the part that spoiled that I feel just like a kid, you know, I stole the candy store, was that like I got to go and complete the songs kind of, yeah, you know, off the, you know, after the buzzer, and this and alternative songs that didn't, you know, that we were like this close to going with, and then got another one kind of edged it out, mm-hmm. Completing those and soundscapes that were just like I'd fallen in love with, and I couldn't tell you which one was better than the other, but like this record that I kind of pieced together was kind of all the odds and ends that you probably would never get to see the light of day normally. And so there's no one. Like I created this record of a hybrid of soundscapes and sound design and you know, completed songs, and I'm really, I just feel like done. Like I sense I wouldn't have had if I just called it a day on the film, because I would have known all the songs no one ever heard. I would have known like the moments that would kind of come and go and like a forever tease, you know? And Paul really loves teasing people, but it's not exactly what I'm, it's not really my thing in the long run. But that's also his job, is to keep, you know, to keep the movie and the story and the character like alive, you know, post credits. And this was, I guess, my personal way of trying to do that. But the greatest films do that. You know, they don't end when you walk out of the theater. Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
Well, I really appreciate your time here today and in talking to us about your process, working with Paul, the tracks on the film. Like I said earlier, it's one of my favorite film scores of the year so far, because I'm just a big fan in general of dark, atmospheric, moody scores that also illustrate a character, and one like William Tell, who just has so many layers to him as well. I think that your work really, really brings that character in this movie alive at times in a very, very unique way that I haven't heard on another film this year so far. So,
well, that was the honor, was getting to like the level that Oscar Isaac like brought to every scene was like I could not like phone it in. I was just like, I can't like that would be, you know, yeah, that was something that would be unforgivable. So I never really took it, yeah, a day's rest. It was that bar and where I knew that Paul was reaching, that I was like, okay, I've got to give as much as these guys. And it was very, very, very moving. And that level of artistry and craft, like it just, you know, raises me to a point that I wouldn't have gone to if someone wasn't, you know, that benchmark. So thank you. But at the same time, you know, that's kind of the cool part of the interplay of like, okay, if you're going to, you know, go here, I'm going to try and meet you or best you. And it's the greatest competition, you know, people ever invented. Because everybody wins. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, Robert, thank you so much for your time. Once again, the film is called The Card Counter. It is currently coming out in theaters this upcoming weekend here, September 10th. And I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today.
Likewise, man. Cheers.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks, man. Have a good one. Right.
You too.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to my interview with the composer and songwriter for The Card Counter, Robert Levenbean, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. The Card Counter is currently playing in theaters from Focus Features. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and we are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you will get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
Hey there!
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.